Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite sci-fi shows and movies.
And today we're going to talk about The Strain. It is on the FX channel, comes on Sundays, 10 p.m. EST. This show is new. It was a book, a vampire novel written by Guillermo. See, I can't say that.
That was Guillermo. Awesome. That was smooth.
I want to say William because that's William in Spanish. So yes. Del Toro.
Yes. Excellent.
He wrote books.
He is very prolific. I mean, comic books, books, and movies. This dude is quite impressive. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, what he did, he wrote this. I've been anticipating this show for a while, mainly because it has viruses. It looked like something Stephanie would like. And strangely, she is not all over it, again, with a show with a viral outbreak. Hence, okay. She's not all over. Anyway, so I saw rats. a whole bunch, a horde of rats running throughout a sewer. And that was just like a teaser. And I was hooked and waiting for this show ever since The Strain. So I didn't really know what it was about, but I thought I'd give it a shot. What did you think about when you saw the teasers and everything else that was...
Honestly, I didn't even see the teasers. I went into this completely blind, not knowing. I just, you know, there was maybe a little glimpse of something on a commercial, and it had a strong feeling like some sort of epidemic kind of thing, maybe a Walking Dead. I didn't know if it was going to be zombies or Helix. I just knew there was going to be some mad virus involved that got completely out of control. So that's all I knew going into this.
Well, so I kind of went that way. And I knew about the rats and I knew about the viral outbreak, but I didn't realize vampires.
Yep. Neither did I. At most, I was thinking probably zombies. Like, oh, okay, we're going to do another version of Walking Dead here. So I was kind of in that techie sort of bio mood where I was ready for that. And then there was the box. And I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because I knew it wasn't infected beef in the box. I was like, wait a minute. Because I think it was the embroidery or the detailed work on the box.
Yeah.
If it had just been a coffin, it would have been so obvious right out the gate. But the fact that it was a box, I said, wait a second.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the beginning of Vampire in Brooklyn, except for...
Wow, that is kicking it old school right there.
That's woo. The best vampire movie ever.
Oh my god.
Well, no, because Eddie Murphy's vampire came over on a ship,
yep,
and everybody died on the ship,
yep,
and he had this ornate coffin. And
I'm pretty sure that's where Guillermo got his inspiration. He Vampire in Brooklyn. He says, you know what? I can make a series out of this. That's what he did.
I think he did. So this one is kind of different. It tries to ground itself in reality because it brought in the CDC. It brought in like health code procedures. And you have kind of a sober audience it's not really comical. It's not over the top with heroes. We have Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, that was surprising. I gotta admit, something was a little jarring about him in it. I don't know what it is yet, but I don't know what it is. He feels odd in that position.
Really?
I don't know if it's the role they chose to put him in or how he's pulling it off, but something feels a little odd about the choice of him as that particular character. But I'm rolling. I'm rolling with it.
Well, he's kind of playing a guy who wants to be a good guy, but his wife is sick. He wants to cure his wife, and so he's gonna break the rules in order to try to afford to keep or make healthy the woman he loves. So he's doing bad things for a good reason. Won't keep him out of jail. But I mean, he's kind of
I think
pushover.
you get, yeah, well, you're giving him a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt than I am, because out of the gate, even before his wife was health was in peril, he was looking at that cash and he didn't know what was being brought over. It's something about the way that deal went down at the beginning of the pilot made it seem like it wasn't his first time doing somewhat nefarious shipping issue. Something about it didn't feel like that was the first time he had done it. I don't
Maybe
know, but
his wife has been sick for a long time, so he's just been doing it for a while.
well, yeah, but if that was the case, wouldn't he have needed the money earlier for a previous trial? Or I don't know. It just felt like he wasn't new to this. It seemed like he was playing more innocent than he actually was. But
So, like you said, the star of this is Corey Stoll, and we've seen him in House of Cards and some other fine films. And he, plays an ex-alcoholic father, recently divorced,
Dr.
custody.
Ephraim Goodweather.
Yeah. And he's recently divorced. There's a fight over whether he's going to get full custody or partial custody, or no, shared custody or visitation with his son. And then mom, who is obviously totally not in love with her new boy toy,
What are you
but
talking about? They're together. It's very clear they're in love.
seems like he's just there to be a handyman. He's just fixing stuff around the house.
Oh, he's fixing stuff all right.
Right. I just put on some chapstick when you said that. I was just like, "Rrr." No. Yeah, so he is part of the CDC. We get this. So, I mean, they put a lot of the human touch on this, and I don't know if it's turning people off, or I don't know what. I mean, how does that make you feel with the human touch right out of the gate with this show?
There's a lot of human touch in this.
Gross.
I mean, no, I wasn't going there. I actually meant that, well, you can see the plots that are going on, and the choice of these human stories seem well, a little heavy-handed.
Oh, there he goes.
I'm
Trademark.
sorry.
There it
I'm sorry. 'Cause okay, look, I mean, we've got Mulder and Scully have a somewhat interesting relationship where this is.
Nah, they were screwing because Mulder and
I'm.
Scully, they were in love, but they were in love in a holistic type of way that did not involve banging while Mulder was married to another woman. This did.
I'm just trying to be brief here, but yes, I know. In the first, what, 5 minutes of the pilot, we find out that the star F. I do not like F as being short for Ephraim, by the way. That is frustrating. But anyway, that F and his coworker have had an interest. But I mean, look at the layers of the story. The lead and the co-star having some sort of a relationship, a ghost of a relationship, but now they're keeping it, separate so they can focus on the work. And the star has he's possessed by his job, and he's losing his family, and he's got to really struggle to keep the divorce and the custody of his child. Oh, that's meant to really pull at your heartstrings. Oh, and then in the background, there's another guy, and his wife is sick with cancer, and his real struggle is to do the moral thing or to cut the edges off of things so he can. These stories just feel kind of shoehorned in there because the whole thing is, all right, we don't know what the main story is. We're going into this thinking, oh, well, maybe it's a zombie, maybe it's a virus, maybe this kind of thing. Okay. As the story is unveiling, and we as smart viewers at home are piecing together that, oh, it's a box that's coming in. Oh, the worms want blood, and these people seem to be coming back from the dead. Right away in the pilot, we're putting together all of these pieces, these very big breadcrumbs that have been laid out in front of us.
You think they're obvious? I don't know. That was sarcasm. Sarcasm.
Okay, I wasn't sure. that I wasn't sure about. So I was like,
oh my God.
So, with these big breadcrumbs and the very big, big piece of an emotional, supposed to be an emotional story of a father not seeing his son, and these pieces are you can tell that they're trying to pull at your heartstrings. You can tell that this is, they're trying to make these characters, quote, relatable. But what do you think about how they've been able to pull that off so far?
So, to me, because of the success with The Walking Dead and their kind of human story, it feels like they want to lay that foundation as well, so we can be grounded in reality and it not be so jarringly like a throwaway supernatural WBCW show. They want people to take it seriously, so they have the kind of soap opera-esque human touch to pull normal people in. However, when we start seeing the heart in the jar and the gross things coming in the eyes and the little girl coming back to life and the weird dark man freaking guy coming out of the box, it pulls you out of that reality, that really firm reality that they set up for you, and kind of makes it comical in a way. So they... the juxtaposition of it all is kind of off to me, which makes me feel like this might not last because it doesn't, the balance of it is fighting with itself.
Yeah. Yep.
In a, some yep. sort of way.
Well put. Well put. You got it. I feel it. I was not quite sure how to articulate it, but it feels like these big chunks of things that are kind of hanging around. They're almost coming together. It's like those puzzle pieces, like big puzzle pieces that don't quite line up yet. You can make out the picture of what they're trying to make or what they're trying to say, but they're not quite fitting in a smooth way. They're there. You can make out the picture, but there's something about how all the elements of it is not quite like. Okay, here's something else that I kind of feel about it. When you're watching Walking Dead, there is a fairly consistent feeling of dread. It's a dark kind of eerie spookiness, and it carries through every part of the show. You feel it. It's never beyond that. No matter if things look a little bit happy, you know it's good. The crap's going to happen. You feel that always. When you're watching The Strain, there are these moments that feel kind of comedic, but not intentionally.
Yeah.
And it's the not intentionally part that's bad, because the effects are really gross. I mean, so
oh,
when you're going that gross, you need to hold on to the darkness. No, you need to be able to maintain the darkness around that grossness to make it. But there are these awkward moments where you're like, okay, that was really gross, but that was kind of corny. And those pieces don't fit well together. I'm trying to think of,
you know what it feels like, Carl? It feels like there's some old guy in charge who wants to be cool, and he's like, the kids are gonna like this. And so let's make it cooler. Let's put in a Marilyn Manson. So there's like some sort of weird Generation X guy who thinks he's cool, but he's balding and he has a convertible, who's putting this thing together to try to be cool, appeal.
That was kind of harsh right there. I just want to say Generation X balding guy with a convertible. Harsh. But go on. Yes, I'm listening. Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Well, I'm just saying, it just feels like, okay, it just feel like some midlife crisis. I guess it was harsh, but I mean, I don't know that guy, so I mean, I don't know anybody like that, so I guess that's why I went that far. But anyway, so it just feels like somebody's trying to be cool in a way that was cool maybe 10 years ago, like the Marilyn Manson guy. Like, no. That no, who does that anymore? That's 90s. I mean, it's just not cool.
Well,
in a way, the way they're, it's like they're trying to be cool instead of just being cool.
Or
something.
I'm gonna give them a slight pass on that because
because I insulted the Generation X
What I think the possibility of a goth rock star. Actually being a vampire, there's room for interesting things with that. You can do some kind of cool stuff with that. So I'm going to let it go with the expectation that they take it someplace and they do something cool. Because, hey, you want a vampire? And the classic, and by the way, the look of this vampire, of the lead vampire, of the main guy, he's got the look right, which is what Guillermo del Toro does. He has the look right. That was Nosferatu. He had the actual look of the classic old Hollywood Nosferatu. So I thought that was so cool. But the thing is, classic vampire motif has got his sort of mesmer power, his sort of mesmerizing ability over his victims, right? Mm. The closest thing we have to that in mass popular culture are rock stars. So I thought it was a good try picking a sort of a goth star, whether you want to call it Marilyn Manson or whatever, a goth rock star to be the lead vampire. Okay, that's got some possibilities, assuming they do something interesting with it. So I let that go. And I thought he's kind of scary. The rock guy is getting a little bit scary there. So
you mean him biting chunks out of people and then losing his penis in the toilet as he flushed it down? You mean that?
There are different scales of this that we could address. There, before the loss of the member, shall we say, in the toilet, because when I say sometimes things get a little gross in this series, that was an indelicate way of going a little far. That was going a little far right there.
Oh, that was so beautiful.
I mean. Never mind this. Okay, so here's the thing. I mean, the combination of leading up to that moment, all that stuff, seeing him transforming into the vampire, the eye issue, the teeth messing around, him biting the girl in bed, all that
stuff. And his hair, turning pale for real.
But yeah, that, I mean, you see how that is Stephen King, Tommy Knocker's kind of dark right there. And all of that was really, even the scene where he calls his buddy in there and he just sort of drops trowel and goes, and he's like, oh, I got a urologist. We need to take a look at that. All of that had a sufficiently spooky element to it that felt scary. When he's using the bathroom, and you hear that plop right there. That was unintentionally funny in a way that takes you away from the raw scariness of what's going on. And so, if you're going to drop a member like that and then turn to the camera, having the Ken doll front is not, you see, that's not how it would drop off if you got rotten away as you becoming a vampire. You're not going to get that smooth, what is it, almost human Ken doll action going on in the front there. No. So you can't start with the fangs and the hair loss and the actual pale skin and jump straight to Ken doll after the ball. That's no. That's what I'm talking about. Not smooth.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's good.
You know that, yeah, because that is just not consistent. I don't understand, like, if you're gonna show all of the other stuff, and they put this big warning at the beginning of the episode, this contains nudity, blah, blah, and that's what they considered nudity. I think not.
Cannot drop a member in a toilet and then try to smooth it out with the...
No. You think that's not scientifically sound, Carl?
Jeez, I'm just not even going with the scientifically sound. I'm just talking thematically, thematically consistent, all right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is probably the craziest example to try to describe it with. But this is talking about this, like, they push it one way, and then they pull it back someplace else. And you're like, what? And you don't know where the show's going to be at. So okay, so here's another thing. Man, the girl is scary. The girl is scary, okay?
The little French girl?
Is scary. So what they're doing... Yeah, what?
Well, so, I mean, to set it up a little bit, her dad, you know, came to... She got sent over, I guess, from France by herself on an airplane. People do that all the time, as long as they check with the airline and blah, blah, blah. So he was there waiting. This tragedy happened, and he was really vocal about wanting his daughter's body.
Yeah, they called because everybody on the plane's supposed to be dead. The news story has gone out, and just, you know, the news story has gone out. Everyone on the plane's supposed to be dead, but they were all infected with this vampire worm that's gotten into everybody from, you know, Nosferatu locked in the cargo bay. Mulder and Scully run through the plane and do their tests, and that was classically X-Files. They had the flashlights.
Yep.
They had the dark lighting.
Yeah.
Everybody's supposed to be dead, and then, you know, you got the jump shot where the guy sits up and it freaks everybody out. So, all right, classic horror movie. I'm down with all of that. But of course, the families, they want to know all the families waiting at the airport want to know where everybody on the plane is. Where is my daughter? Where is my uncle? What's going on? And of course, the timing of this may not have been the most fortuitous given the issues we've had with airlines lately. But
Ebola. But yeah. So, you know, all that took place. The girl shows up and not looking right, first of all.
No.
There was nothing about her that looked right. And he was just like, oh, my baby's home.
Of course, she's blue gray at this point. She hasn't said anything. Well, no, she did say something.
She said, me call papa. But it was in French, but it was like that. And then, So
zombie baby, let's just give you a bath. That's what you need. A warm bath. Was it? That chick needed more than a bath. I'll tell you.
So she was in like the bathtub for what? I don't know, a day. And then she comes in, a dad comes in creepily, like inappropriately to like, I don't know what. And then something big comes out of her mouth. And she kills him.
Yes, she's got a vampire tentacle tongue proboscis. Shoots out. That's the thing. That's the thing. See, we think we've seen vampires before, but these are like the thing versions of vampires.
Yes, they are. They are.
So we've got projectile proboscis-i, like, latching on to people now. It's just... This is not your your Twilight vampire.
Oh no, this is not your Twilight. These are virile. So, atop of all of this, you got grumpy old man from the Harry Potter films. He's like the Highlander of the whole thing, where he goes around fighting vampire crime. No, he was he Blade or something? I don't know what he is. He's like a vampire. He's Buffy, right? And so he has been fighting vampires for all of his life, and he recognizes the signs on this plane, and he tries to help. He has an old sword. He communes with one in a jar or something. And he knows the history. He tries to tell the CDC, but...
Unconvincingly. I mean, not just that they didn't buy him. Why is it that... Here's the other thing, that you get tired of certain themes when you watch them in movies. If you are the underdog, and you have life-threatening information that you have to tell the hero, don't be all cryptic. All right? Come out and say, dude, the box that just showed up in the town is going to turn everybody into freaking killing vampires, period. You don't go, oh, bad things are going to happen if you don't listen to me, and then fade into the mist. Nobody wants to see that crap. You come out and tell people what the problem is.
And, like, what is his whole deal? Like, he's not only is he cryptic, but he's, like, he was in, like, the concentration camps.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not sure why that's relevant to his story. I understand how sad that is, blah, blah. You know,
No, hang on now. Because remember, every human story that there is in The Strain has got to be something that pulls at your heartstrings, that is resonant emotionally. So the fact that it's a divorced father who's being pulled away from his work, the fact that it's a husband who's trying to save the cancer of his wife, the fact that this is a man from the concentration camps, because that tells us two things. That tells us that he's crazy old, because if he was like 10, the dude would be 80, easy. Seriously, I mean, if he was like 10 years old in concentration camps, that would make this guy 80, assuming that he's not, you know, had some vampire blood in him to try to juice him up or whatever. I don't know what they're
going to... I don't think he's that type of guy, though.
Right, okay, right. So every human backstory has got to have some kind of punch to it.
But it's just the men, though. All the women seem like they're whores and they're bitches.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yes, it's true. The women seem a little thinly drawn compared to these fabulous backstories for the guys. But he's got the potential to be an interesting character. He's acting well, so I'm enjoying watching him on the screen. But
I don't feel like unless they're going to tell us a story and these vampires somehow tie into like Hitler made them or something like that, which would be pretty awesome for him to like have been a vampire hunter in a concentration. I don't know. But for them to just throw that out there and pull at my heartstring and pull at something so important historically, just as a throwaway in a story, really pisses me off. Don't use that if you're not going to be responsible with that type of story, because you just can't just roll around, you know, concentration camp, let's put on a party hat. Like, no, don't do that.
Magneto.
You know, well, no, they didn't do it. Magneto had a great story.
No, I'm just pointing out that he was.
Yes, it did feel very Magneto. Yes.
And he had a party hat. So I just couldn't. Jesus. I wanted to throw it in. What I'm saying, it seems like some of these things we might have seen before. Magneto, the old dude is like, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm going to let it go. We're going to try and see what they do. Because, of course, when you're writing stories, you want to be able to try to get backstories across to the audience as fast as possible. But let's just say we've seen it done better.
Seen it done better, and it needs to have a purpose. Just don't, you know, make the man have suffered all his life and not make it part of the story. That's all I'm saying.
I am seriously hoping that they bring that in and that there is some significance, because I have got a feeling that Nosferatu is an old dude, and we have a feeling he's been around for a really long time, probably much longer than World War II. So let's hope that their stories intertwine in a way that is interesting coming up in the future.
Okay, yeah.
But no, so, I agree with you. It's a little...
Yeah, don't play with that. So you have like Nosferatu's henchmen going around. These vampires are kind of unique to TV, but not as in stories, because they remind me of vampires from the Harry Dresden universe, and I think it's the Red Quarter or one of the courts where they actually no it's the Black Court that they actually I don't know one of the courts y'all let help me out but where the vampires are actually monsters, but they do have to put on a flesh suit, And so this guy that's the henchman, he runs around, he has this elaborate makeup routine to make him look human. And I just thought that was very interesting and very different for TV because we haven't actually seen that.
Yeah. The general my takeaway from that is, when you're a vampire, you are effectively immortal, right? As long as you get your blood, you can keep rolling. But the longer that you are alive, the less human you look. So it is my impression that as you are hanging in there, stuff starts dropping off.
Smoothly,
Yeah, well,
apparently.
you see, you'd think his nose didn't drop off smoothly, now did it? So I'm just pointing out, and he's the 900-year-old one, or however. So for the, you see, no Ken doll action happening on his face. So it's my impression that at one point he probably was smoother, normal.
Oh, Carl.
He was more human looking and probably glamorous, and he had that sparkle from Twilight
Oh,
on
here we
when he was young.
go.
But
Here we
after,
go.
and when 900 years old, you reach, look as good you will not. So that's what's going on. I don't think he was inherently a monster. I think over time he's just kind of fallen off, and now it's gotten to the point they got to keep him in a box. So, but yes, okay.
Well, I think this is like the Mummy films where they have to kill so many people in order to get full flesh back.
Okay, well, let's see. I if that were the case, I think he would have easily killed off a bunch of people. I don't think that's what's going on with him, because he just killed a plane full of people, and that's the best
But
thing.
he didn't eat those people. He didn't get those people. What he's trying to do is infect all those people so he can propagate
Yeah.
or turn the whole United States into his army or whatever. So that was a different purpose than food.
Okay,
That was children. That was procreation.
well, all I'm gonna say is I've got the feeling that rather than going through his elaborate makeup routine, if it was an option for him to simply kill off a bunch of people
No, I'm
and
talking about Nosferatu, not the henchman.
right, no, I am talking about that. That's the one who put the makeup on, right? That's the
No.
what? Wait,
The
wait.
henchman put on the makeup. Remember the guy who goes around talking, and he was making the deal with the old man, and he was making a deal with the Latino thug, air quote. That's
Wait
not
So
Nosferatu.
the guy that came and shot the guy in the head, that wasn't Nosferatu?
Wait, who shot who in the head?
Oh,
Oh, no.
Rice.
Nosferatu gets out of the box. He's a whole different entity.
Oh, really? Dang, I missed that. So that's the wait, so
There's
that's the
two. Nosferatu, who came over on the plane, and the guy who was already there arranging the whole thing.
So henchman came to the prison and talked to our old man.
Yes.
I'm looking through his eyes and seeing,
And touching the
oh,
glass, almost breaking it.
gotcha.
Yeah, he's a.
I miss. Okay, so Nosferatu is really, I mean, the head vampire really is that sort of SG-1 like hooded cloak thing that no one ever sees his face. What was it? Which guy was it from
This
SG-1?
one could it, what are you talking about?
Okay. From SG-1, there was one villain who was only a hood. You never saw his face. He was just a big hood.
Season?
What?
What season?
I don't remember which
Was it
season.
early? Was it late? Was it Guauld? What was it?
Was later. It was later. He looked like death. He was just a hood, and you never saw his face.
I brought some of the later episodes out.
Oh
Was
my
this
God.
around like the King Arthur Merlin?
May have been. It was toward the end. It was toward the end. But
Yeah.
okay. So anyway, he's a disembodied sort of ghostly hooded thing, hooded transforming hooded thing that just sort of floats around, right? So that's all we've seen of him so far.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just
Wow, Carl.
what? I mean, see, if you knew
I
I
mean,
was
that missed. I mean, I don't know what you've seen then. I don't even know, like, if we even. I mean, felt like we were talking about the same thing the whole time, and now I don't even know, like, I'm lost.
The same thing. I just thought that the henchman was the guy. So he's seen through his eyes. He's controlling the henchmen. Got it, though. I got it.
Okay. I'm concerned about you, but all right.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Just checking
I'm good. I'm good now. We're on the same page, people. We're on the same
Okay,
page.
okay, okay. So, I mean, so he's trying to make more vampire children. Plus, he has to eat like the mummy in order for him to gain flesh. Maybe because the henchman puts on his flesh. So why haven't he eaten a whole bunch of people to gain flesh?
That's what I'm telling you. I don't think that's an
I'll
option.
say, because so now I understand. Oh, so I don't get what's happening. Maybe to gain strength. I don't know what's happening with that. So it's only been 3 episodes. So we don't really know. And guys, if you do know, like, tell us like you always do. And by the way, thank you for all of your tweets and Facebook messages about our latest episodes. We thank you a lot.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. We appreciate your candid response to our candid question.
But yeah, so I don't know really what's going on. So is this scary, Carl? Does this scare you, or does it just gross you out?
See, that's the problem. There are moments where they get the mixture right. Like I said, I thought the girl is scary. I think she's scary. I thought obviously worm in the eye, that mess was a little bit scary. The heart or whatever that organ is in a jar, that's pretty creepy. And the transformation of both the goth guy and Dad Steve Buscemi, whatever the guy's name is. But those two, watching those two transform, that's got the dark creepiness. But again, character development matters so much. You want to feel something for these people. And if their backstories are too hammy, or if their scenarios are too cliched, it kind of takes you out of it. Like, for example, our the pilot, right, who's been in the pressure tube or the isolation room this whole time. We've been carrying on with him. All right, so just looking at the guy, he does not strike you as being the scariest character. There's something about the way he looks and the
He's
way
just
he's
a normal
carrying.
guy, yeah.
It's just a regular Joe. The point where he finally turns in this last episode, where now he's gotten out of the isolation booth, he's running around. What did he do? He went home, right? He's walking around his house. He's harassing his family members, and Mulder and Scully kick in, and they're like, "Oh, we want you to come back with us. Look, this dude is jacked up. You do not want to be messing with. There's no negotiating with Frank at this point. You're like, oh, we just need you to get back in the car with us." Rah! And his head split open. And so that whole scene felt very unrealistic. So first of all, for him to be pulling out with the Dead Space mouth, okay, so that's one level of scary. And I'm ready for that. And I want to be that kind of terrified, right? But for it to be from on Fred Mertz from Lucas, that juxtaposition is slightly comical, right? So I'm trying to deal with the proboscis, which is supposed to be scary, coming out of Fred Mertz. Okay, that's messing with me. And then the fight with the fire extinguisher. All right, look, if I got that kind of action happening in the kitchen, first thing I'm going for. Headshot with the fire. He's got a great big. By the way, if he's in a house, who has a fire extinguisher of that size in your kitchen? I know the little ones. This dude looked like he wrestled
I
that.
have
You know,
one.
that size? You have a fire extinguisher that big? I don't.
Yeah, they put one in all of our homes
Holy
here.
crap, that's huge. Well, anyway, so okay,
I haven't had to use it. I've had to use them before
All right, look.
because I've burned my food while cooking and it wasn't.
Maybe they just gave you a big one.
Ah, rude.
Let me finish. So if I've got a monster going after either, my girl, who's my sidekick or whatever, or the innocent victim in the house, and I'm behind
Girl
it.
gotta be your sidekick.
Because I'm trying to describe who she was, the sidekick, whatever, Scully or whatever. But anyway.
Oh, Scully was the sidekick.
Right. And because anyway, if
Oh,
I
oh, oh, okay. No, Scully was not the sidekick. She was an equal partner. She
I
was a
am.
doctor of medicine. I don't understand. What, am I your sidekick? You think I'm your sidekick, Carl?
I am talking about on the strain. We have already established,
Okay, fine.
thinly drawn. Can I please just make my point? If I'm trying to protect my friends from a monster in the middle of the kitchen, and all I've got, because apparently F isn't armed, nobody is around him is armed, all I've got is a fire extinguisher, I'm going to go headshot right then, right? You get, it's the only thing you got, headshot. F is hitting him in the back. He's clipping him on the leg. So we've got the creepiness of the proboscis shooting up. That's supposed to be scary, but it's coming out of Fred Mertz. Now we've got a wrestling match going on. All of this is just not – if you got something that bad going down, you want to see a real fight. And then after the wrestling match, now apparently he's taking it seriously. Then he throws with the multiple headshots when the thing is down. It just didn't mess the flow of that scene. And this is what I mean, where on one hand it's kind of scary. On one hand it's kind of funny and goofy. On one hand it's not believable. And all of that is mixed together in this one scene. And I'm like, okay. I don't know how that feels, because I've always thought that action scenes have they're like a dance, you know, they've got a certain pacing to them. And you can either do them right or you can do them really wrong, and you got to be able to pull that off in a really dramatic way if you wanted to advance your story. And to get F there with that fire extinguisher way and wrestling around, none of that felt right. So I'm trying to hang with it, because look, I'm excited to see the effects. I do like the effects in Strain. They're really good. I do like the monster stuff. If you're going to be a monster show, be ghoulish and be gross. They got that part down. So the effects and the look of it, the special effects are right. But there's something about the mood and the feel of it that's uneven. And character development, you're right, the women are really thinly drawn across not saying the guys have epic clarity about them, but man, you really pointed that out when we started going back, and I'm thinking about the lady, the mom, she's cranky, and you only see one dimension of her, his Scully there. All we've seen her as is his love interest, and we know she's capable, but still, we don't know much at all about her. And this being episode 3 that we've seen, we know about everybody else, or certainly all the guys. So yeah, that's interesting that the lady needs some help.
They do need some help. Well, maybe she'll get more time now that old guy and her had more of a rapport. And you know, he's been talking to her and she's believing him more, having more interest in what the old guy has to say. So maybe, you know, that'll come together at some point. So as you were talking about, is this scary? The one thing that is very scary to me, and it's not none of the ghoulish, shocking things that you would think. The thing to me that is really scary is the way the government handled this and the CDC handled this. So there's a plane, there's evidence, very good evidence of something being wrong with these people. These four people who were alive made a few phone calls, even though they were sick, and they got out in the public. They are coughing, they are having, you know, members falling off, things like that happening to them. They do not go back. Not one of them went back to the hospital. I find that unbelievable. Number one. Number two, if there is any type of agent, you can't just go around saying, well, do you know, if we had a viral outbreak and we announced it, that the markets would go blah, blah, blah. Like, is that happening now with the Ebola thing? And that's how it's spreading. And that's how some Americans got it and perhaps brought it to these shores. Or like, how that's scary to me, that some people can pull their weight, let infected people out into the public willy-nilly, and we not know, and we supposed to be paying these people to keep us safe, to do the right thing, to do a job, and people are being compromised because they don't have enough money to pay for cancer treatments for their wife, or they don't want to crash the stock market or some crap like that. And it's, on the one hand, that's believable that something will happen, but at the same time, I'm like, I just don't believe that if there's evidence of a viral outbreak that it would be handled this way.
Yeah. Well, sadly, that was one thing I found kind of believable.
Wow.
That part, I actually, if you're looking, whenever you're composing a story, you want ways of creating believable outs. And for them to make that a bureaucratic decision or interagency fight going on, that I actually kind of bought. I thought that was all right. So,
But this is the health of people and something that's
oh,
really.
it never matters. It never matters when it comes to issues like that. That doesn't matter. It always boils down to kind of people, and I found that quite plausible. So,
Wow. I feel so naive.
yeah.
I do. I just feel like so Pollyanna. Okay. Well, I don't know.
So,
Well, I wouldn't do it.
in conclusion, what do you think about the series as a whole so far? Or, are you going to keep watching is the main
Do we
question.
want to? Because we need to make a decision on this one. Now, I'm not as confused about it as I was Dominion. They don't have inconsistencies like that. I mean, Dominion is so unwatchable. And I gotta tell you, there are people in my Twitter feed, and I apologize if this is you and you're listening, but they love this show. They praise it all the
Wait,
time.
wait,
They
wait.
say it's the
Are we
best
talking about The
thing.
Strain? What are we
I'm
talking about?
talking about Dominion, sir.
Oh.
And they absolutely love this thing. So I don't,
Okay.
and they're not, we put out the challenge to people to tell us if they really wanted us to watch it, that they would let us. Nobody has let us know,
That
thankfully.
is true.
So,
Thank you. Thank you,
nobody
everyone.
has requested that we continue to watch Dominion. But I just find it really concerning that there are people out there that really think that Dominion is top notch, is the
Okay.
best thing since sliced toast. And I don't get it. So I don't feel the same way about Dominion that I do about The Strain. However, I don't know if I would feel comfortable in making a person like you, Carl, who's kind of, like some serious stuff. I mean, you like Supernatural, which is a little goofy, but it's goofy in a way that we're used to. But this seems like it's almost beneath you. And I don't know. It just feels like I'll watch bad TV. You know me, but it almost feels like it's insulting me as well. So I don't.
All
I
right.
don't know.
We don't get a lot of monster shows, really. And they're trying. When I'm watching this, I can feel that they're really trying here. I will give it a shot. I will continue to watch this.
Okay.
And I will continue to watch this and see where they go. Because it's a little bumpy right now, a little bumpy. But there is some real potential to go in interesting places with all of the characters that have been defined so far. Yeah, it would be nice if we learned a little bit more about the women. I'll keep watching this. It's not my favorite, but I will keep watching this just because I'm curious to see where they're going to go with this.
Okay, well, if you're watching it, I'm watching it. Does that mean, though, that if we're watching this, that we don't have to watch Fallen Skies? Okay,
I am thinking
fine.
this might be a little better than Falling Skies. This
Okay, we're
and
getting off.
by the way, it was Anubis from
Oh, I remember that now. I see the picture. Yeah,
Anubis.
that don't. I didn't. Did he stick around? Was
No,
he just like
Anubis
a word?
or
Yeah.
well, he was a couple episodes. Yeah, he.
Okay, because I just didn't remember being afraid of him. Yeah, he's kind of like Anubis.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
that. That was very a really great comparison.
See, if I had just been able to remember the name, it would have
I
immediately snapped
still
me.
would have. No,
Hey,
I
come
had to see the
on, come
picture.
on.
I
You
had to
just.
see the picture.
All right,
So
fair.
he sent me a link. I'll put it in the show notes, guys. But I mean, that's all I have to say. What another thing that I found really interesting about The Strain is that people, I think in California, really thought the advertisements were disturbing. Some people requested to have them taken down. With the thing coming out of the eyeball and some of the other little advertisements that they put to create buzz for the show. So I thought that was quite interesting. I think
That's
they did
good.
a really good job with promotions on the show and getting people interested in it. So kudos.
Yeah, that's true. And that was probably their whole plan, is to come up with something just pushing the edge to stir up folks, which is what good advertising is supposed to do.
Yeah, you gotta deliver though. And we, since we see a lot of these things and we watch, Walking Dead, and we watch a lot of, I don't know if we're harder on it or if we are just right on point. So I'm not really sure. All I know is I've seen better, but it's not the worst either.
True. Agreed. Agreed.
So we will continue to watch it at whatever point it becomes too unbelievable.
We will give you a closing cast about that.
One more thing I want to point out. Do you know the quote Russian guy that who's the exterminator? He was in Legion as an angel.
His character is strange. I don't know how I feel about that dude yet. I'm trying. I the whole time I was watching him, there's something just unbelievable about him.
Know what? You know what he's going to be? I think when the old man dies, he's going to get the gauntlet or the torch.
You think that's what it's gonna be?
He's going to be the vampire slayer.
Well, he's got all the necessary gear, so he's ready. He's ready.
Think so. So we'll see. We'll see. So is that it, Carl?
I'm good for the strain. I'll continue to watch.
That's our show, guys. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call on our voicemail. I want to hear your voices. We want to play voicemail again. 773-336-2686. You're going to call, Carl?
Oh, no, but I'll find a woman to call and ask you questions about where I am during the day and what's going on.
You do that because I'd really like to know. But go to our website, leave us a comment there, or you can do what you always do, get us on Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus, and you can also listen to our podcast on Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. Oh, by the way, can you hear me okay? I got my mic in a different place, so can you hear me okay?
Where is this mic?
Well, you don't want to know, baby.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to know. I didn't mean that to sound the way it came. I'm just all over the place today, all right? Oh, goodness.
All right, well, I got my glasses on. I am in my
On old
clothes.
man
Yes,
glasses.
don't be talking about my old man glasses. I get my crooked cane out.
Oh, you don't need no cane, dude. Oh, okay, so what are we doing? The
I
strain.
think strain first.
Okay. The freaking strain.
End of line.